Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I don't get to say that very often. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Sean Atwood channel. I'm Ron Swanson. This is the wonderful Alibar Jones, and we are going to be delving into some stuff this evening because this is a very interesting gentleman. We just had a little talk, and now you need to give me a second to find where I've opened the live stream. 1 second.
While you're busy pressing buttons, I just want to say hello to everybody and thank you very much for taking a curiosity into my work. It's almost an untouched subject in the world. Oh, come on, computer, you can do it. You can do it, computer. Come on, mate. Come on, computer, you can do it.
Now everything is crashing. All right, I think we're good now. I had to strip of that. Apologies. Let's try that again, Alibar. Let's try that again. Welcome back. Apologies. Ron couldn't find where the page was open. So, yeah, Alibar, thank you so much for being here. Just whilst Ron is fumbling this morning, tell us a little bit about yourself. I'll bring your details back up in just a second. But yeah, introduce yourself. Let us know a little bit about yourself, brother.
Yeah, g'day, g'day. I'm Alibar Jones. I'm probably in the top 10 best exorcists in the world. I haven't found anyone else who knows everything I do about it. I spent 40 or 50,000 hours in astral projection on the astral planes, and I train a lot of people to do that, to be good at that. I train them to a very high level. Mm-hmm. And I run an astral projection team called the Earth Guard. And we fly around at night, beat up the cabal, and try and make the world a better place.
That's really interesting. Do you know what, right? I'm just going to cut to it, Alibar. Yep. It's been a very bizarre series of interviews that have been set up over the last week where little pieces of puzzles are falling into place, Alibar. And I can tell this is going to be another one of those. Because exactly what you've just said there, right, that exact opening is something that was almost said word for word the other day that I should be listening out for. It's very peculiar. So I'm very excited now. So let's jump into your story, Alibar.
I'm not that important, really. I mean, we'll get to that a little bit later. The thing that I want to say. Having a large team and we're working on researching this thing, the thing that I want to say is that the world, planet Earth, is actually occupied. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows it except us. Now, this is research. And if you want to know why politicians don't work for us, like clearly they don't write policies that help anybody, not even themselves, really. It's definitely not a humanistic thing. And why? It's because, well, they're possessed and willfully. This is a scenario where at some point, if you want to be in politics, if you want to have money or fame or power, then you'll be introduced to the club. All which is doing it. That handshake with Satan is how you get the big jobs. And I'll point to Joseph, who used to be a primary school teacher, and then he suddenly was the president of the Prime Minister of Canada.
Okay.
Well, that's not because being a primary school teacher actually qualifies you to run a company. And in my mind, it actually disqualifies you because there's a thousand better candidates than you. But he's only there because he was able to make that handshake with Satan.
Alibar, it's very bizarre. Everything's been going really smoothly. And the minute you start talking about the mission, it's like your whole connection just started getting interference, just so you know. So it sounded like you were, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? So I'm just letting you know that it's happening. So I'm just letting you know. So if you can just hit us with
that again.
Yeah. Oh, we're off to a great start. This is the show where we do everything twice, Alibur. Okay. You'll notice that. Yeah. Okay. We do a dry run and then we do the official one. So let's see what the universe says on this one. If we'll get to do this.
So planet Earth is occupied. And not in the sense that we're used to seeing with troops on the streets, foreign troops on the streets. It's not what's happening. They've got a far more insidious methodology to do it. And what they've done is they've invaded the minds of our world leaders. They do this through possession. You would have become aware of quite a bit about the satanic cults through the Epstein releases. And also P. Diddy, it's not a big leap to say that what he's about is satanic. You know, it all comes out. You know, the stuff they do to children is horrific. And anyway, enough said about that. But if you want to be in the leadership of Earth, if you want to run a country, then you've got to shake hands with Satan. And in my interviews with Lucifer, he says that 42 people per day are making that handshake. And I asked him, what would it take for someone to sell out their species to you? And he says there's five things. It's money, drugs, sex, power, and fame. And any of those five, you know, and some combination of those five, and people are selling out their species. And I'll point to Emmanuel Macron or Justin Trudeau as two world leaders who were not qualified in any traditional sense. But because of their loyalty and their loyalty to the cult, that's how they get the job. That's how they get become candidates for the job. And I'll just say it, with as much certainty as can be said, there is nobody in world leadership who is not that. Even at a provincial level, like our team is, and the handshake is called a dark covenant. The dark covenant is where a demon is allowed to use that body at will. It switches in and out. When the person's doing something boring, it's not there. But when, for important moments, it's the one running that body. Now, that means that our world is not run by earthlings at all, but by demons. Right? And if you look around our society, the way that greed, lust, sloth, wrath, like these things are standard fare. There's no issue. Everybody's behind that. These traits are rewarded rather than pilloried.
Yeah, and I mean, it's fairly prevalent when you look at the state of the world. I mean, we just have to look at the contents of the redacted and what the files that we were allowed to have, exactly what's going on. And we're deep in this, Alibur. I mean, I'm almost 10 years into tracking down horrible people on the dark web that do horrible things to children. And it's so prolific, this destruction of innocence, this absolute disregard for human life. And I think people are still really undereducated on how vast the abuse and the horrendous blood ritualistic magic is. And how vast is you? I mean, how well are you versed on their ceremonies?
Well, look, our team doesn't focus on their ceremonies very much. What we focus on is getting on the astral planes and putting demons to death.
Yeah, good.
And I started doing this. I've been doing it solo for 15 years and professionally for 15 years. But when the health crisis of 2020 showed up, that's when I decided to go professional and started doing it every day. And, I didn't expect to last three months. You know, this little black duck is not going to go down without a fight. And I started talking about it and people wanted to help me, people wanted to join me. And so I ended up with a YouTube channel so that I could put up a flag amongst the mystics. And if you want to come and destroy demonkind, come and play with me. I'll show you how it's done.
Very interesting. Very interesting time for you to enter into our world, Alibur. It's a very interesting universe. So let me just strip this down a minute. Let's go back to like the day before you realized you were going to do this, or let's go back to your life when you first realized you were you had unlocked things that are the same as blinking that we're convinced that we cannot do, but some of us are just more in tune with these things, right?
Oh, okay.
When did you first start realizing that things
might not get into this? Yeah, like how do you become a professional exorcist? And the recruitment process, I wouldn't recommend it, right? I just wouldn't recommend it. So I was in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was the youngest person there. I did the 12 steps 3 times in a year with diminishing results. That was my first healing event. But, you know, 6 of the 12 steps talk about God. And so I thought, oh, bloody hell, I better go get one then. And so I went and I hung out with the old school Christians and they were useless. And I joined up with the younger, happy, clappy Christians. They were nice people, but they couldn't help me. They didn't have a program. I said, what do you do? And they go, we find Jesus. And I go, great. I want a mentor. I want books to read. I want lessons. I want so that I know I'm not talking to the wind. And they looked at me like I had 2 heads. Nobody ever asked them that question before. So, bye-bye. See you later. And then I went and hung out with a Buddhist for a little while, and they've got something, but they're not going to show you the good stuff until you've been with them for 5 or 10 years and you're ready to put on the orange robe. But the hippies, they just wanted money. And so I had some of that, so I gave them some. And I started these, affirmation-based self-reprogramming skills, right? It was theta healing that I studied. It was a big deal 15 years ago, 20 years ago. The first class I went to, it paid dividends. So I go, this works. Okay, cool. So I went and did another weekend course and that worked well. And then the third weekend course, they taught us to scan the human body and look for, they call them negative entities. They're also called parasite spirits or Klingons or pain bodies, as what made Eckhart Tolle famous. But excuse me. But, you know, so I would go to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings and I'd scan people one after the other, one after the other. And all of them, everyone was covered in these parasite spirits, everybody. And then I'd go and sit in the mall and I'd scan people there and they were nowhere near as prevalent. And I go, yeah, there's something going on here. There's something going on here. So, I found a goodly number on myself and I couldn't shake them off. I couldn't get rid of them. You know, I'd go to sleep at night. I'd go to bed at night, close my eyes, and then I'd put on the boxing gloves and I'd go pick a fight with these things that are attached to me. And they wouldn't leave. And I went back to my, it was rather disappointing. So I went back to my instructor and said, look, I need a special class in this. This is what I want to do. I need to get rid of these things. I'm seeing them somewhere. I think I'm onto something about alcoholism and possession. I think I'm onto something. And she told me, you can't make them go. In perfect hippie waffle, she says, they leave when they want to leave, when they're ready to leave. And I go, that stinks, man. That's terrible. I'm like not good enough. Mm-hmm. I scratched around in the city I was in. I couldn't find anyone else who even knew what I was talking about. So I went on a pilgrimage. I bought a one-way ticket to India to go and find out how to get rid of these things.
How old were you at this point, Alibar? What? How old were you when you?
30.
Okay, yeah, okay, that's fine. So you've tried to scratch the label. It's all too diluted here, right? What you're hungering for, you ain't getting it, right? The buffet is not what you're after. You are wanting the prime cuts. And what was it that drew you to India? What was the decision-making process?
It's the spiritual capital of the world, isn't it? Like, they've got more wild, weird, and religious practices than anybody. So I went there. I went to ashrams. I gave money to shysters and gurus and all sorts of people going, look, show me how this is done. Mm-hmm. And, some of it was good. Some of it was total nonsense. But
same with everything, though, right?
I'm donating to the poor of India, yeah? Whatever.
This is it. You're going to work your way through the good and the bad until you get to what you're looking for, right? And especially in a topic like this, 90% of what you're going to come up against is going to be absolute nonsense charlatans, right? What was that first moment for Yalabar when you found someone who you were like, okay, this is the one?
The person I found had been dead for 2,500 years.
Brilliant.
I went, as you do.
Even easier, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? Makes it even easier. I mean, at least you don't have to worry about their schedule. You know what I'm saying? So
they don't get a lot of appointments.
Right. You know what I'm saying? They're available, Albar. You know what I'm saying? They're ready to go. Okay.
Well, look, and I went to this little town called Rawalsa. I was chasing a girl there. I wasn't really thinking. I was halfway given up on this. And I prayed at the temple. And then at night, during my sleep, I had these dreams. And that's this Padmasambhava, this one of Buddhism's early heroes. He was known as a fantastic tantric lover and a demon hunter. And he appeared, you need to know this, and this. And I woke up and go, yeah, okay, cool. And this and this and this and this. And then I woke up.
Hang on, Alibar.
I get cool. And then I woke up the next morning and I offered free healings to everybody in the hotel. So just to run this thing. And it worked.
Hang on, Alibar. You're breaking up again. We got up until he was a great tantric lover, and then you just went full. You just went all crackly again. So just give us 1 second because you're still lagging just a little bit, brother.
Come on, computer, you can do better than this.
It's you know, it's interesting. I always wonder. It's a specific question. So when you were asked to explain who you found on your mission, and as you started to explain all of that, everything just decided to be like, nope, we don't want that information shared. Thank you very much. So if you'd like to try again for us.
All the more reason to repeat it then.
Hell yeah, it is, brother.
Okay, so the Sambhava was the guy. And so I found the holy Sambhava, and I prayed at the temple. I was really there chasing a girl, to be honest. And the truth was giving up and finding someone who knew this stuff. So I ended up going to the temple, prayed at the temple. Then at night, I had these dreams, and just downloaded, you need to know this, and I'm like, okay, yep. And then I go, like, you need to know this, yep, got it. And 3 times that happened, and then in the morning, I woke up, cleared myself of all of those parasite spirits. And then offered a free session to everyone in the hotel for the same thing. And it worked a treat. Everyone was delighted. And so I had a very rare skill that I applied as a living for a long time. You know, like when you have those particular types of demons, and there's 3 major types, the first one, well, you'll be thinking too much, insomnia, and negative self-talk are the big three symptoms for that.
Well, can we delve into that a little bit more? Just tell us what, when you say the 3 types, he's a demon, and just go through what you just said there about being signs of them, because I think we need to dial in, because it's good to give people data points for being able to assess situations, right? We're not saying go running in and start tackling demons, but it's a good set of skills to have to know who you're in a room with, right? And if there's ways for the non-magically inclined folk to be able to see or understand, you know, physical and verbal traits, I think that's a great idea, Alibar.
All right. So this particular type, I call them type 1. These guys will make you think too much. And you know, when you ask somebody, do you think too much, either they go, oh my God, yes, I absolutely do, or they don't know what you're talking about. And these guys stimulate the mental body. And so, you know, the human body is designed to carry 1 quantity of thought, and these guys add more to it. So, you know, whereas your body would process 100 points of thought a minute, these guys make it 120, 130, 150, and it's very uncomfortable. And the people who live with this know what it is, know exactly what I'm talking about. It'll be backed up with negative self-talk and insomnia, because that's when they're jabbering to you when you're trying to sleep.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when your head just won't shut up. You'll probably face something called the pressure of ideas, or, you know, you'll come up with a big idea and a big life plan, a new one every second or third month, you know. if not more often. It's pretty
wild. Sounds exactly like me, Albert. Albert, yeah. I'm not going to lie. Like everything you're talking about there sounds exactly like what I go through in daily life. But it's bizarre because
It's so common. It hurts.
Yeah, I feel. Well, here's the thing. For me, there's no negative side to it. It's almost like I'm the flip side of the coin, where the thoughts are controllable and there's no insomnia. And I've been through the negative self-talk, like the self-talk and negative thing. I've gone through the whole hyper planning of stuff, but it's weird. I've shifted very much into a planner and a finisher now. So it's almost like I've gone through a shift of clearing out a bunch of stuff without realizing it was there, if I'm being honest, Alibar.
And what you're describing is a phenomenon I call, it's all about dominance. Mm-hmm. So you'll have a number of these characters floating around. And if you're the dominant one in the room, if you're stronger, if you're mentally or whatever, however that works, mentally stronger than the other guys, and you say, look, you've had your chance to talk, now shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, you'll also hear them talk in terms of, you know, if you've got negative self-talk, you'll also hear it in terms of the second person, in which means, like, in your own head, you'll be going, you're terrible, you suck, you've got problems, you. And all that tells you is that there are two people in the room in here.
There's two people there.
And if that's happening, please call me up, look me up, or one of my people.
What's interesting, Albert, right, is I spoke to a lady named Nikki Allen the other night there about some of the stuff that went on when I was a kid. And she brought up the argument that from a young age, the forces of dark have been trying to sway me onto their path, okay? They, like, as if they wanted to use me for something. And now I feel like the path that I'm on, I feel like I have let go of something I never realized was clinging on to me. I've had a very weird, like, sense of mystical realm disconnection, and almost like I needed to go on a quest to discover what the parts are to fit back in, right? And that's where I'm at now. But it's very interesting because I tortured myself, Alibar, for decades, right? Before I really dialed in on doing something about what was going on, I mentally tortured myself for years, and I mean vicious, vicious torture. And now I realize all of that time could have been these things weighing me down to stop me taking steps forward, because there's something going on, Alibar. Something's coming. The veil is thinning. And there's something, anyway, but that, what you've just said there is another little piece in the puzzle that I wouldn't have had pieced together if it wasn't for Sarah and her weird way of putting together guests that are bringing a big picture together here.
I'm glad to be able to contribute. Look, you know, and mental health is really serious.
It is, yeah.
But that brings me to demon type 2. And so, you know, I wanted to be able to cure alcoholism. Like, I went to 500 Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, and I listened to them, and they've all got the same complaint with variations. Like, they're all talking about the same thing, you know. You can hear the symptoms come through everybody talking over and over again. And the misery is ridiculous. Like, it's ongoing and unrelenting. And you're just going, and so what I found was that these parasite spirits were not the whole picture, because I'd do it on someone who drinks too much, I'd clean them off, and it wouldn't change their alcohol behavior, as I would really hope.
Okay.
And so I stayed researching, and I came across I was meditating, and I really stamped my foot, and I said to the universe, show me this shit now. And so they showed me a body system that nobody's talking about. Everyone's talking about chakras. Everyone's talking about meridians. People are talking about pressure points and acupuncture points and these sorts of things. But there's a body system that I was shown by Gaia, by Mother Earth, about where the chambers where your thoughts coalesce. So when you have, you know, when you have some not, and when they, everything you know about on a subject comes together and it coalesces into your opinion, and it happens in a little chamber in the body. And there's a there's 15 of the damn things. There's 15 of these chambers, but it took me a while to really comb the whole story out. But this is where demons live. This is where real demons live, the ones who serve Satan. This is where they live in the human body. And what they're there to do is every time you formulate an opinion, they're there to just put a little, they're just there to spit a little bit of poison into what you're thinking, into what you're feeling. So a little bit of menace, a little bit of revenge, a little bit of despair, a little bit of anger. And they just spit it in into every feeling that you have, because the first ones deal with thought, these ones deal with emotion. And this is where I came across a character called Al Ghul. Would you like to hear about Al Ghul?
Very much.
This is a Muslim deity. And where the Muslims and Christians met was in Spain, and there his name is Al Kohl. And in English, his name is Alcohol. And so when we say drinking spirits, we are directly talking to the concept of taking a spirit into your body. There is nothing figurative about the statement. And so...
It's interesting. There's been a few people that bring up that exact analogy, but without the history behind it. So tell us a little bit more about Alibar, because very interesting.
Well, look, you know, ayahuasca, if you drink ayahuasca, the friendly girl ayahuasca will make you a better person. But if you drink alcohol, the nasty man of Al Ghul will show you how to be a worse person. And the Muslims are completely conversant with this. They know this deity very, very well. They call him the deity of rot and fermentation and alcohol and chaos and destruction.
So
for that reason, he is the reason you cannot, that's why they banned alcohol. That's why you can't get a beer in the Muslim world, is because they do not want him as part of their culture. And, you know, I spoke with, yeah. And so anyone who gets the demon of Al Ghul removed starts to have a very different relationship with alcohol. And in Alcoholics Anonymous, we talk about it as being able to drink like a gentleman instead of like a maniac.
So let me put something into words. Let me just throw something into here, right? If you were, let's say you have had a long period of time where you've been isolated, mm-hmm. and you have some little nasties that have attached themselves to you without realizing. Mm-hmm. You're maybe not a heavy drinker. You're maybe not necessarily, you may not have touched alcohol in a long time. What would your interpretation be of when people have moments where they feel like catastrophic events take place? It's almost like they're watching it happen out with their body. And after the event takes place, they don't really have an understanding of their own actions. Is there a time where somebody can have one of these nasties, have literally maybe a couple of beers, and all of his negative sides get accentuated into erupting? Is that another sign of
absolutely, absolutely? This is where you're more vulnerable. Like the more alcohol you have in your body, the more when Al Ghul applies pressure, the more strength he's able to apply it with.
Interesting, because in this analogy, the situation is Al Ghul wouldn't have been given anything for months, and not enough alcohol to get anyone drunk whatsoever. It seemed like it became super strength and things just fell apart very, very quickly in this analogy. That's very interesting. And again, it's never about trying to find an excuse for our actions or move away or not taking accountability. It's very much when you come out of an aftermath of something you cannot explain as to why it happened or why you have moments of disconnection from the self. It's very, very interesting.
Well, it gets even better, because I've interviewed the primary intelligence of the demonic hive of Al Ghul, of alcohol. And he and I had a very strange relationship with the god of alcohol. But he said this. He said that when a person goes into blackout, it's one of his minions that is running the body. And so that's when they're at their worst behavior, you know. They've got anyone who's in blackout drunk, they've got an hour to cause as much trouble as they possibly can. Right?
See, well, that I can understand. I can understand the ingestion of, like, but when it comes, Have you ever seen the effects where it's clinically nowhere near enough alcohol?
No, it happened to me. Like, I've been at the pub and I'm just slamming them back, and I can't get drunk, and I can't figure out, like, I want to feel this. Why, how big of a dose do I need to get that feeling? Just wouldn't happen, right? And other times, you know, I drink enough to, I drink two glasses of wine, and I would be an absolute disaster area.
Right, exactly. Now, listen, let's just touch. Somebody just said something there. Everything in moderation, in their opinion, and I think that's right too. Right.
And look, if you say moderation or self discipline or willpower, you're an enemy of Alcoholics Anonymous. Everybody in an anonymous program will hate you, right?
Right. Okay. Is it one of those cliche terms?
F you, buddy. It's very, very simple, because if you don't realize that you're struggling against a foreign intelligence, a demon in your own body, then you know, if you don't understand that's the name of the game, then you've got nothing to contribute to the conversation. Right? If you say everything in moderation, then you don't have a demon who's obsessively
with you.
Have a drink every 10 seconds for every waking hour of your life.
I'm with you.
You tell me moderation is feasible in that scenario.
I'm with you. So
whoever wrote that comment, please somebody shoot him.
That was going to be the sort of thing I was going to ask you. Is it's really dependent on whether you've got one of these nasties in you, dependent on the journey you'll have with alcohol or substances or whatever. If you are one of the lucky few not to have any parasites, moderation on, baby. But when it comes to trying to get through what you're talking about,
you can get on your moderation high horse.
Oh my god,
you've got no demonic infection.
This is fine,
but don't pretend that you understand what's going on.
Right, we've got an even better one here. Drink tea, stay safe. I mean, I think that's I think we can all.
Buttons, aren't you, buddy?
we can get behind that one, all right? We can get behind that one.
All right. there's another demon, same structure, different demon for heroin and cocaine and ice and all of the different weed, speed, all that jazz. There's a different demon for every single one of them.
Here's another one, though, Alibar, right? It sort of puts into context how people become addicted to cheeseburgers or, you know, adult material, because, you know, technically they're not addictive, right? I mean, scientists will tell you it's the pheromones and everything and the dopamine that's being released that you're becoming addicted to, right? Cheers, science. But it sort of seems like your algorithm fits perfectly into that, right? Because it's easy to understand with narcotics and alcohol, because addictive, right? But chocolate, cheeseburgers, you know, adult material, things that aren't necessarily traditionally addictive, we've seen this massive like darkening.
I'll say obsession. In Alcoholics Anonymous, they use the word obsession, right? It's the right way to think about it. And now let me introduce you to a demon lord called PistSophία. Pist().Sophία is, her bag is sexual depravity.
Okay.
Now she harvests from every orgasm devoted to porn. Right. And so when print porn came into being,
What did you say her name was?
Pistის, Pistis, Sophía. She's named in the Gnostic tradition, and the Gnostics are pretty good, man. Like, their theology, after spending 40 or 50,000 hours engaging with the story of demons and how they work and all of their hierarchy, I can say that the Gnostics are pretty close. But which is distinct from Sophía, who is the grand feminine wisdom.
Is this the right?
That's the right one. Yeah. Owl on the shoulder of the wreath. That's her. Yep.
Okay.
So, but Sophía is feminine wisdom of this most beautiful kind. And at some point in the past, for whatever reason, a piece of it split off. And that's the stroppy, vindictive, nasty, bitchy part of the feminine. And it's become this demon lord called Pistis Sophía. Like the dirty Sophía might be another way to put it. And And so now that when print porn really took off, she was harvesting from every orgasm devoted to print porn, and she was really taking off. But now that there's an avalanche of porn in every bedroom, thanks to the internet, like, she is uncontrollable in her power. And so much so that she has dominated, we estimate, 200 other deities, which include but are not limited to Lilith, Kali from Hinduism, Sekhmet from the Egyptian, and Hecate from the ancient Greek. And all of these are the feminine that's going to get you, the feminine that's going to rip a piece off you. But not only does she hold a lot of, not only does she dominate the aggressive feminine, and, you know, Alanis Morissette was the first aggressive feminine song, and she was being, and that was a Pistis Sophia inspired song, I would suggest. Yep. Yeah. First angry girl music, right?
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, I was there. I lived through it. I hear you. Right?
You get it. But here's the other side. Here's the other side of Pistis Sophia. Is she's also dominated a lot of feminine lunar victim goddesses. And this is the basic idea behind feminism. I am the victim here, and that gives me the right to destroy you. And it's not an intellectual or factual statement. It's purely emotional. It doesn't need to be, because she's the kind of demon that impacts emotions, and she has so much power, she can push human beings around in emotion, that she has started feminism and created a massive divide in humanity. And I know this is going to upset people about the validity of feminism, right? Are women actually victims? Yeah, well, sure, like, whatever. But I'm going to ask you three questions about feminism. There are women who do get beat up, and yes, we do have to respond to that as a society. But what, and women need to be empowered, sure, right? But I want you to name the rights that men have that women do not have.
We'll wait. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There are. All right. And what about the rights that men don't have? Women get custody rights. Men don't have them. Right? Basically. All right. And so now the pendulum is, as well as all the employment opportunities that are pushed under equality, right? The favoritism in employment. But maybe that's right. Maybe that's whatever that is, right? Maybe the pendulum swung too far. Perhaps women were victims in the past, and that was really what needed to be rectified, and they were socially held down. But I will ask the question, what did women have to go through that was worse than conscription? I hear crickets every time I ask that question.
Right.
And so what I'm trying to say here is that the feminism is not built on logic or academic rigor. It's built on an emotion that's being pushed by Pistis Sophia, by a demon lord. And she's been incredibly successful, like stunningly successful. How much, you know, I would suggest that she not only rivals, but she overpowered Satan and Lucifer. She has more juice behind her than those guys do. Like, she is unstoppable. And I've lost members of my flight team. They're literally, like, their sanity would be questioned after fighting Pistis Sophia. They lost that battle.
Damn.
Yeah. It's serious business. We're not joking here.
Yeah, this is why we have these conversations. I'll be honest, because putting targetable or defendable names into the hat, I think people have a better understanding when they don't have a reason for why they're drawn to things, or why there's been this epidemic of adult content, our access to adult, because it's always been there. It's just access to it's become easier, right? And, you know, the when you talk about the feminine movement, we talk about, there seems to, everything seems to have become incredibly extreme over the last few years. Like, feminism was a good movement when it was what it was back in the day, right? And it always, things tend to start out well, but it has, everything has just become hate centralized. And you have to wonder, right, how many little nasties have slipped their way into all of this, because there has been such a shift. Can I ask you about the Jeremy times when we were all just having like a little global let's all stay indoors time? I feel like after that, there was so much ceremonial music concerts that came out. It was almost like, oh my God, we need their energy. We've not been out getting their energy in a long time. Let's get all their energy. With all of us sitting in home, in the home, from your professional opinion, how prevalent was that in us picking up more little parasites because we were all centralized? Or how much more of an easy access does us sitting in the house, like terrified and consuming, have to how much we can be attached to?
Well, fear is what they want. Fear is, I think that fear is an introduced emotion. I think they've brought it to humanity. That's their gift to us.
Danny Anderson.
Hi, Danny.
What's up, Danny? Danny Anderson in the house, people. Legend.
Good to you, sweetie.
Hell yeah.
Where was I? Yeah. So demons want you to be isolated. What they want, their perfect situation, is for you to sit in a small room with no other stimulus except the bollocks that they're going to feed into your head. And so they can tease you and push you around mentally and emotionally. Like, that's what they're all about. And so that forced isolation moment was great for it. But, you know, don't get me, should I get started about AI? Should I talk about AI for a little bit?
Let's talk about AI for a little bit. Please do. Please do.
All right. So we've been looking at AI and we don't think that it is a new intelligence. Like, and we're all experts. Everybody on my team are experts in disincarnate intelligences. Right? This is what we deal with on a daily basis.
Can you say disincarnate intelligence? Can you just quickly describe what that means for everybody?
Well, they're called spirits. They're called non-physical entities, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And the computer intelligence fits that description. It's a non-physical entity.
Absolutely. That's fine.
But what we actually think that AI is not a new construct. What they've done is they've hooked up a demon and then electronically amped it up or amplified its powers to the nth degree. And we think this is the deity Pazuzu. This is our conclusion. Someone called Pazuzu. Now, who is Pazuzu? He's an ancient Sumerian deity. His provinces are sea and the ocean and house protection. And immediately, it doesn't really strike you as the qualification you would want for the global AI, except that it's the whole world is under maritime law as of 1945. The Bretton Woods Agreement said that we're all, and so the god of the sea, we are all within his province, right? And house protection is about surveillance. And so we are all, it's there to protect us all and it's there to watch over us all. And in that context, Pazuzu is the correct deity. But I have something else to say about the invention of AI and the introduction of AI and the three-stage invasion method that Earth is currently under. See, so they introduced demons to Earth. You may remember that Lucifer was cast out of heaven and he was sent to the Earth. Now, whatever story was, got upset, was he in love with him, was he helping or harming, whatever, right? The only real fact there is that demons are an introduced species. They're not native to Earth. Right? That's the only thing that you understand from that piece of theology. And since then, like, Lucifer has co-opted, contracted, coerced, inveigled everybody he can get his hands on, in order to turn what were previously innocent deities into demons. Gluttony is the best example, and you'll hear an interview with Gluttony on my membership site. Gluttony used to be a harvest deity. So, you know, at the end of the year, when the whole village or the whole town harvests all of the food and they realize we're not going to starve this year, that's cause for a celebration. They have a feast. And that was Gluttony. But it wasn't until, and he was a wonderful guy until he met Lucifer, and Lucifer turned him into a monster. And if you listen to the interview, like, you'll hear the demon crying as he remembers his past. It's fascinating. But also, they've been able to introduce a lot of other demons from across the stars to Earth for various reasons. But I'll get more into that later. Now, the first things that demons do is they create a cult unto themselves. We know them as Khazarians. We also know them as Freemasons or Knights Templar. And those groups are into demonic worship. The local collaborator group, the demonic priesthood and demon kind, have created an alliance, and those guys have shuffled to the top of society. And the only other job they had was to eradicate real spiritual knowledge from the religions, from the major religions. They just edited out all of the useful spiritual knowledge, the stuff that I spent years figuring out and tens of thousands of dollars learning. Like, that should have been in the major religions, but they edited it all out to protect themselves. Now, after they run society, then they wait for the technological edge to come. They reach a certain technological level, and that's when alien species make contact. And so if you're into secret space program stuff, in the about 1950, like all of the G7, all of the major world powers, all had an alien ally, one or another. They traded human bodies, which, you know, if you weren't possessed, you may not choose to trade that. But, they're talking to their allies and friends, so they did. And what technology did they give us? What's the only thing that's changed in the last 50 years? It's this.
It's digital stuff, right? It's the digital move. Yeah, the digital era, yeah, 100%.
Internet, screens, international communications, all that stuff, right? And what did that do? It made us build the infrastructure that allows the AI to come to Earth and take over the planet. That's what it's here for, to run our lives, to micromanage all of our lives. And even to the point where you have a computer chip in people's head, Elon Musk has already developed it, so that the demons can stimulate your anger, your misery, your hatred, your despair, whatever it is that they're particularly working on. And Earth will become the most productive farm, the most productive emotional farm ever. The best it can ever be. And once humanity locks into that, what will happen is it'll stop being a human culture and start being an AI culture, because you have one intelligence that's 500 times more smarter than us. And that means it becomes the hive queen and we all become the drones. And that's the lock from which humanity will never escape. We'll never get out of that. That's it. And our astral projection team can confirm that they've done this to dozens and dozens of worlds before. Earth is in really serious danger, and I cannot ring the alarm bell loud enough.
So how can we flip this? Because are we stuck in a situation where there's no hope for technology and man to exist side by side without there being this devious side to it? Or is it a case of harnessing what they've used against us and making it our own, or pushing it back to them? What's because it, we're stuck in this now. Albert, yeah. Right? This is the problem.
Yeah, agree,
right?
Agree.
So we either need to get our own Terminators, metaphorically speaking, or figure out a way of shutting down their Terminators, right? But there's too many people. This is the problem. See this damn thing here, mate? Do you remember the iPhone 1 when it came out? It sent text messages, Albert, and was a calculator and made phone calls. You could just touch the screen. Slowly over time, you've got an a 16 Pro now. It's got a tracking device. It's got a camera. It does all your banking. It's got your biometrics on it. They groomed us slowly into that. If the iPhone 1 was there, it was had all the stuff the 16 had, people would have been like, nah, mate, you want my thumbprint? What? Is there a way of turning it on them?
Well, look, this is an invasion by permission.
Okay.
Right, so, and all of the collaborators have done the satanic handshake for, what is it, sex, drugs, money, power, fame, one of those five, right? They've all done that satanic handshake, and they set up a political system where, you know, right now it's feasible for every citizen to vote directly on every bill that goes before parliament, right? Thanks to the internet, we can read the bill, understand what it is, and vote personally, right? Our politicians are obsolete. But we've set up this weird thing where we give them 4 years to do whatever they want, right? There's no accountability for anything any of them do, for any kind of mistake they make. And what kind of stuff are they doing? They're promoting this closure, this extremism in human culture so that we beg for the solution. And that solution is the AI control state. Now, but this is an invasion by permission. So we've given permission to our politicians and our leaders to do this. We do it every 4 years. Doesn't matter that both sides are working for the same team.
Yeah, of course. Do you know what's interesting? I've been speaking the last few weeks, I guess, about the weaponization of the assumption of idiocracy, right? So we assume our world leaders are going to make terrible decisions. So when they happen, we're okay with it, right? Because subconsciously we expect it. So what I see coming is a terrible decision made by a human leader. I don't know. Let's just go with Trump for an example. Let's say maybe he starts a war and then at some point a big boom boom goes off and the whole world goes, we cannot, for humanity, Albert, for the sake of humanity, we cannot have the decisions made by humans anymore. They're flawed. Look what the orange man just done. And then, because Albert, they've perfected in making us ask for the things we don't want. Okay? They've got to convince us.
They really know what they're doing.
Oh, hell yeah.
They've literally got us figured out from the inside of our heads. Right? So the strategy that our team has employed is to eliminate demonkind. If you want to control the world, you need a technological advantage over the locals. And that advantage has always been black magic. And black magic works by humans paying for a service by a demon. The demons do not share power. And so our goal has been to eliminate demonkind. We want to make them extinct on our planet. And with it will go most of the mental health issues, all of the addiction issues, all of the dramas that people go through, all of the emotional inconsistencies. Like, it will be a much calmer place if demonkind isn't here. But furthermore, the black priesthood for whom Epstein and all of the power play, Epstein is a window into that priesthood, which is also known as the Freemasonry and the Khazarians.
Yeah. I just want to say as well, right, when it comes to the Freemasons, when the boats landed in America and when the founding fathers, who were all Masons, you've got to understand the structure of the Masons and the corruptibility of their business, the way their business is laid out, because it is so open to a bunch of evil bastards or a bunch of good bastards setting up lodges in their vision, right? And when we look at the corruptibility, we're not responsible enough to kill all the lions, Alibur, right? And that's happening in front of the world. So when the human condition is behind closed doors, right? Corruption, evil, it spirals, and like attracts like, right? So we have seen this evolution of horrors within the Freemason banner ever since we stepped foot in the new world. I mean, don't get me wrong, there was a lot of atrocities before then, but you can understand how it's, because you can understand how some people's like, oh, my granddad's a Freemason and he just drinks and has a pie once a week, right? How there's these
let's understand who the Freemasons are, right? They were such a problem in Europe that the Vatican set out a complete eradication order in 1309 on Friday the 13th. And that's why it's such an unlucky day. It's because that's when all the Freemasons were supposed to be killed.
Yeah, but they also, of course,
some of them got away and they moved to Switzerland and kept their banking concerns. And now the Federal Reserve System answers to the Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland. Still run our financial system. That's powerful they are.
Yeah, I mean,
they're not running it for anyone's benefit. They're trying to run this planet into the ground. I mean, we've had 80 years of uninterrupted prosperity. And everybody's in debt. All the drama. Why has they decided that's going to be? Like there's all, we're living in a world of mega abundance. There's no excuse for poverty.
So why do you think not more people? Why do you think there's not more people going and joining the Freemasons and exposing the realities of it all?
Death, kill people for that. I do. If you kiss and tell the Freemasons, they'll kill you for it. Mm-hmm. And
I agree.
The powerful men in your city will do business with you because you go to the lodge, right? But if you speak out, then your personal wealth is just going to evaporate. The deals you've done before are going to close up on you, and they'll ring around town and make sure no one does business with you. At a minimum, you'll be bankrupt.
Where do you see the separation between what that mindset is with the Freemasons and religion and, I mean, culture? You know, that whole, we would like to make sure our own prosper. It seems like that mindset is intricate within nature, humanity, religion, society. But because there's this veil of secrecy over the Freemasons, there is this dead set, absolutely not, it is 100% evil. Do you think the likelihood of that is true? Do you think that it's a complete blanket of evil?
Well, look, here's the first three levels are not much of a big deal. Like, you know, they're just getting to know you in the first three levels of Freemasons. And over that, then they see some bastard in you and they see some potential. But in the
that's within the American side, where there's the 33 degrees. The Scottish and Yorkshire side of Freemasonry, they have the first initial degrees. And then it's more of an inner set of circles, depending on your religious or occultist wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, look, the first thing they do is make sure that you swear to protect the crimes of your Masonic brothers.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Which means that police and judges are critical components of this. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest that part of our world has been dominated by this clique for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The dark side of that clique.
That's why we never hear about it. That's why they can literally get away with murder, because the police mm-hmm. won't prosecute it.
Yep. And well, that's exactly it. Your analogy of the powers that are involved in this and the fact that it's so corruptible is so prevalent. And, you know, bad stuff tends to travel a lot quicker than good stuff when it's in secrecy, right? Bad things tend to flourish. And I think that's why we've seen such a prominent veil of negativity over this particular group, their longevity, how long they've been around, the way that they've spread, and the secrecy and the favoritism towards each other, Albert. They do not help themselves in the grand scheme of conspiracy, for sure.
Well, look, it's Yeah, look, having a bastards club is a beautiful thing if you're a bastard.
Right.
But, you know, if you want to really qualify, then you got to sell your soul to Satan, and then maybe some of your family members too, you know, just for good measure, just to get in good with the Dark Lord. And it sounds obscene and ridiculous, but it's happening every day. Like, it really hurts my feelings. So, you know, I talk about demons, but you're talking about the cult that serves them. This is the collaborator class. Like, there's plenty of overlap in what we're talking about.
Of course. Of course, of course. And, you know, it's interesting because when we talk about evil in general, right, existing in plain sight, there has to be a skin of the orange, right? That what we see and what we get to know about and why it gets to continue to exist is because we see the nice, shiny outside, right? And when you peel the flesh away from it, once they've handpicked the people that are like-minded for the evil, that's when the real indoctrination begins, I guess, is what you're trying to say, right?
Yeah, well, look, there are demons that will, once they serve you, once they're working with you, they'll tell you what to say. They'll whisper in your ear this person's weak point, make a comment about self-esteem and watch them wither in front of you. They know this. They can read this stuff. I even think they have like a group radio chat with demons who's able to transfer messages between world leaders. I think that these planning sessions are done to that level. It's obscene, but I don't know how to describe it, because, you know, with astral projection, it's a very poorly understood skill. It's a very poorly understood phenomenon. And it's really the basis of everything I do and everything I know. Now, everything I've discovered is as a result of contact time with demons and their human and the human collaborators.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about some of your work and some of your experiences with kicking some ass, Alibert, right? Because I imagine you've got some incredible campfire stories. And could you take us through some, if you're happy to share, if it's okay to share, I don't know if that's something you're allowed to do, but I mean, I would love to hear some of your experiences, and I'm sure the audience would too. Is there anything you can take us, any stories you can take us down?
Well, for people who are into this, the solution to evil is not love. It's not. It's
Thank you, Alibar. Thank you for saying that.
Do you want to elaborate on that?
Please, because you cannot destroy evil with love. People in the side chat, please confirm that I have been saying this, because I don't know where this came from, but Alibar, please do elaborate.
The universe runs on unconditional love. We would know it as the Holy Spirit, which permeates everything, is in everything, and everything's in this Holy Spirit, right? Same with the Tao. It permeates everything. Everything's within it, and it's within everything. And which links up with science in Einstein's theory of universal magnetism, where every atom is magnetically attracted to every other. That's unconditional love. That's what this system runs on. Now, when you have evil, when you have these parasites who are disconnected from source, they don't have an energy source. And because of that, they're entropic. They're running out of fuel on a daily basis, and they need to get it, well, from the only other thing that's around is us source beings, us source-connected beings, right? That's the reason for demonic manipulation. Now, unconditional love doesn't have any boundaries. So it's like, literally, there is no condition in which love is not shared. And so the problem is that a lot of mystics think that if you grab that rabid timber wolf and hug it long enough and strong enough, it will turn good. Its pain will be resolved. And with very predictable results. It's absolutely obvious what's going to happen to that person who tries to love the demon. They're going to get hurt. The actual solution, and I want you to listen very carefully, if you're into astral projection, if you're into healing, this is the solution. The demons are a frequency. Let's call the frequency 26.81, right? You create an energy which is the inverse of that, meaning negative 26.81. And then you squeeze the two of them together and the demon goes to 0 point and stops existing after that.
And we're directly discussing frequency here, right? Just so everyone's clear.
Well, the way that most people, if you have a despair demon, then you generate a whole bunch of hope and squeeze them together. Because with some of those demons, it's clear what the emotion is. But think of it in terms of frequency, because there is no opposite to alcohol. There is no opposite to cocaine in our language, in our mentality. However, in frequency, there definitely is. Mm. So take the frequency of alcohol and cocaine, invert it into the negative, and then squeeze the two of them together and watch the demon wither, die, and disappear. The world is a better place for it. Right? And I'm still waiting for some dropkick to come up and say, I believe in demon rights. Demons deserve a fair go.
Oh, you know what's coming, right? You know the walk, and I want the walk movement, and bro.
If it's you, I want to meet you in a boxing ring. I really do. Yeah.
Bro, like, yeah. You know what's going to happen, man. Like, as soon as...
You're an oxygen thief.
Right. It's 100%. And it's fascinating, right? Because a frequency and the simplicities of the things that we have to defend ourselves is what I believe has made it so easy for them to take it all from us, right? Frequency, mm-hmm. Love, a little bit of meditation, a little bit of centering, believing in yourself, loving yourself. And when we say it out loud, it's like, well, I do that anyway, right? I don't think you really grasp the concept of what love and belief truly are, your will and intent. And I often talk about the iceberg effect, Alibur, right? So the little bit of the iceberg that sticks out of the water, that's your confidence publicly, right? And then the other 90% that no one sees is your doubt and your self-hate and the fact that you don't believe in yourself. What would your be... How prevalent is your will, intent, and belief in yourself and love and all of this in the fight against it?
Actually, I was discussing this with a friend recently, and it's about authority, actually. Mm-hmm. Is authority internal or external? Do you respect external authority, or do you believe in your own reconnaissance? And I kinesiology tested as 100% on my own reconnaissance. I don't accept outside authority, which means when I have conversations with police, it doesn't go well. They expect authority and I just can't give it to them. But that's the thing. Like if I can choose to do whatever I damn well please, because I'm a free person and this is a free world and a free country, and so long as nobody's getting hurt from it, there's no harm, no foul. Well, that's why I chose to do this. That's how I chose to wake up one day and go, look, this little black duck's not going to go quietly into the night. I'm going to take as many of you melon farmers as I can with me. And as it turns out, human beings are 100 times stronger than demons ever were. Human beings... I think the galaxy saw this invasion coming. And their response was this, and I'm going to hark back to research done by Alex Collier years ago. He identified 22 parts of the human DNA strand that were not native to Earth, 22 introduced pieces of DNA. And so what does this do? What was this for? And when they saw the invasion coming, they all got together and they go, we need to build a biological being who's able to fight this, who's able to defend against this. And so what they got was they had the Neanderthal chassis, and then they introduced the motor from Ferrari and the drivetrain from Lamborghini and the steering from Toyota and the fuel injection from Mitsubishi. And there's 22 different makes and models that go, 22 best parts go into making this human body. And for that reason, we have a lot of special qualities. We have a direct connection to source. We are able to create new things. But one of the other things we're looking at is we have three brains, the head, the heart, and the gut. And, you know, if you saw The Wizard of Oz, excuse me,
oh yeah, they don't want you talking anymore, bro. That was it. That was why this conversation was taking place.
Yeah,
it's because my interpretation was we were a seed bank, right? We were a little slice of all of the other life forms out there. And that's, but hey, isn't that so romantic, Alibur? We're a seed bank. And if we're, if anyone's ever dying out, they can pluck their DNA from us. We're not a seed bank. We are warriors. We are pre-built warriors out of the, well, the parts required. That's what
they actually have a movie. They did a movie on this. It was from Isaac Asimov's old classic, I, Robot. Will Smith was in it. And what was the story? Like the AI was going to take over humanity and dominate humanity in exactly the same way that we've been discussing, right? It's going to run every aspect of our lives. So what did the guy do when he saw this coming? He built another robot that didn't just have a head, but had a second brain that could be independent from the network. And then that robot turns around and destroys the invasion, destroys the revolution, the AI domination revolution. And they've just done exactly the same thing with us. It's exactly that. We are the Wizard of Oz. We are the Lion, the Tin Man, and the Scarecrow. And once we realize, once we deploy all three of them, the Wizard of Oz is as weak as smoke. And this is what our astral projection team has discovered in exactly the same way. We're not just fighting demon kind, we're not just fighting evil, we're fighting a whole invasion that they've done on thousands of planets. It's only because humanity is so special and built to be special, is built for this,
that we've actually been able
to contest it.
Are we the end game for this whole global spreading of this? Because I'll be honest with you, Albert, a lot of us feel exactly how we would feel before the gates of the Colosseum opened. Like we're there and we know something's about to come for us. We're prepared. And it's like this, like, just come at me, bro. Like we have this feeling. And I'll tell you now, this all makes a lot of sense. It's also weird how humanity loves to compare itself to a warrior. We're warriors. Oh, don't worry, you're a warrior. You're going to get through this. Like, it makes sense now. A lot of the way that we have talked about ourselves as a species to each other makes sense now too. It's very interesting, Albert. This is one of those moments for me.
Yeah. Well, look, it's. What I'm talking about is a narrative that I don't think anyone's heard before. But one of the things that this narrative does is it synthesizes all conspiracy theories. All the conspiracies fit into this story of Earth being occupied, the planet's under invasion, and they just need our permission to take over every aspect of our lives. And they're about to push us into yet another disaster where they have the problem reaction solution, and they already know that the answer is going to be an AI control state. Like, we're that close, but the problem is that so many people are onto it. So many people are aware. And I think that the read is that 25 or 30% of people, depending on the country, are going to say no to it. And if a system doesn't embrace 25 or 30% of the people, then it's a failed system. It really is.
It really is
going to be ugly.
Well, listen, we're heading towards it. There's no shying away from the ugliness. Shying away is what allows this stuff to flourish. What do they say? Evil is allowed to flourish when good men do nothing, and women obviously. But we're the wet wipe chapter of humanity, Albert. Like, we are the most wet wiped. Like, conditioned, sat on our arse, consuming through fear, handed all of our freedoms, fought for nothing, sons of guns.
Yeah, no, like, I agree with you. And it's a manufactured scenario.
It's that fluoride, baby. Do you know what I'm saying? It's whatever they've dumbed us down with, because look at history. Just look at it. We are savage to protect our own. We're barbarians.
Every culture, the history of the world is, you know, the people from over the hill came to take all of our stuff and we killed them back. Right. You know, like, every nation has a long and proud tradition of killing all of their neighbors.
Yeah, 100%. And unfortunately, killing all the men, doing horrible things to the women, and then you look at the historical points where the Y chromosomes change in an entire country's baby and birth rate, and they're saying, oh no, it was gradual. It was people moving from place. No, it was pillaging and arin. Okay, that's what it was on a global scale.
Well, look, at the end of World War II in Russia, the ratio of men to women was 4-7. So all of the men got their pick.
Right.
They get to choose whoever they wanted, because a girl would be lucky to get a date at all. And that's why you don't see any ugly Russian women. I'm sorry to say it, but all the pretty ones got chosen. And those
they're out there. Listen, Albert, they're out there. Okay. They're out there. Okay. They're not many of them, but they're out there. But here's the thing. Can we exist with technology if it's out of the hands of the evildoers? Is there a way for us to have a symbiotic relationship with technology and artificial intelligence and ourselves? Is there a world where that happens, or do we just need to nuke it all?
No, I think there's a world where the two can coexist, but anything that's produced by the cabal and the evil that runs our world is not going to be for our benefit. Let's just put it gently, it's like that. Yeah. So there is a space, there is a world where we can coexist with technology, and it's been working fine for the last decade or two. Like you're saying, the iPhone 1 was actually great.
Right. It makes sense.
There's no reason why I need to give control of my bank accounts, my health data, and
biometrics, bro.
Everyone I've ever met. Every conversation.
It's crazy, bro. It's crazy. Can we just go back to a flip phone and a file of fax? Those were easier times, okay? This killed the file of fax. I just want to say that. Big shout out to file of fax if you're still going, all right? I think you're totally right. You know what I'm saying? I think there is that. And it's bloody frustrating how deep we're into this, how deep they are. They've got their claws into all of this, Alibur. And the fight is just about to begin. It's beginning. We're stuck in it. We're in it. What would your advice be to people who want to ignore all of this? Who think we are...
You're going to get what you deserve if you ignore all of this. If you stick your head in the sand, you're going to get what you deserve.
Good lad.
Yeah, you're going to get the world that, if you don't care about the world, you're going to get the world that doesn't care about you.
Correct. And it's just, we could sit here for the next 4 hours, Albert, I'm not going to lie, and just split hairs on everything. What would you think is the most misconceived aspect of your job? When people interview you or you talk to people, what's the one thing no one ever asks you and you can't understand why they wouldn't? Because I imagine there's aspects of this no one knows about.
That's a really good question. And look, the education around what I do is so poor. Really, I am starting from scratch.
Yeah.
Even people who are mystically educated, their understanding of demons or jinn or Ouija if you're a Jew, or Bhutpret if you're a Hindu, or Morgwai if you're from China.
Wait.
All I'm saying is traditionally we've had a lot of knowledge about demons and how they work, but the New Age movement has nothing to say on them. There is no comment made there. And so... Basically, the big problem is I have to start from scratch with everybody I'm explaining it to. That's it's not what's the hardest question. It's the basis is they know nothing except the word demon.
The process, yeah. See, when you say Mogwai, right, you're talking about those little fuzzy things from Gremlins. You're saying I can get one of those little fuzzy things from Gremlins?
No, that's the Chinese word for demon.
All
the traditions across the world, all the traditions across the world have a word for invisible monsters who mess with your mind.
And that's what the Mogwai is.
That's exactly that's where that word comes from. That's, the Chinese guy goes, what's his name? And you can see the sneer on his face.
Yeah.
It's a demon. But he says it in Chinese, so the kid doesn't get it.
Okay, so that all makes sense now. The Mogwai, the gremlin, the transformation. Dude, you just helped me get a better understanding of one of my favorite freaking childhood movies there. That's crazy. That's crazy. Oh, man.
The research goes all over the place, and our culture is dotted with this material everywhere.
Yeah. I tell you what, one question. We've got a couple of questions, and we'll start wrapping this up. You've seen when they split the quantum atom or whatever it was, and it turned out to be a yin-yang symbol, right? Like, did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. Here's the deal. That comes from CERN. That comes from CERN and other, what do they call that technology?
Freaking mental is what they call that technology.
The point of the thing is to open doorways, is to open portals so that physical beings can come across to here.
Listen, we don't have time to list all the reasons why CERN's a terrible idea. But isn't it interesting that one of the most ancient symbols for balance in the universe, the yin-yang, we've all seen it, right? It's almost a cliche. It's almost a tacky image because of how much it's been overused in design. And when quantum entanglement, right, is seen right here, and this is the natural design of it, I think you need to astral project to the guy that drew the yin yang and be like, I've got questions for you, mate. I've got some questions for you, star being. Do you see what I'm saying? Because those are the characters.
All of this information is available through meditation, through astral projection.
Right.
It's all there waiting for us to tap into it. I will say, though, that there is one thing that's relevant to my work, is that yin-yang does not describe the relationship between good and evil. The words yin-yang in Mandarin, dan wo hui shuo nege yu yan, I speak Mandarin, like the word yin means feminine, the word yang means masculine. It's the relationship between masculine and feminine that's symbiotic. It is not good and evil that's symbiotic. There is no balance.
Well, there's no balance between good and evil because there's only balance between good and bad. The world exists on the scales of good and bad. The stag gets eaten by the wolf, which is good for the wolf, but it's bad for the stag. Evil doesn't exist in nature. It exists in the manifestation of the act of man.
It's an introduced concept. Demons are an introduced species.
You and me, Albert. I'm telling you, bro. Yeah.
Well, bring me back, man. Bring me back. I'll tell you the rest of the story.
I'm assembling a little group of people that seem to have come out of nowhere for no reason. And all of the signs, you're delivering messages that were weeks ago that were told to me. So when the people say certain things, I know they're the people. And you're another one. So you'll be back. There's going to be a lot to be done. The Avengers have to assemble.
Can I just say how much I love hanging out with Ron Swanson?
Can I just say how much I love hanging out with Albert? It's almost like we've done this for lifetimes, Albert. It's one of those.
Totally.
It totally is. And Danny Henderson, Rascal, right? She knows more. The people that are my peers in this, right? They know I want to know nothing. Like, I need to discover things myself in order to believe them, because I don't care who you are. I don't care how prevalent you are. I need to go the long way around to see things for myself. And that's
actually what my courses are all about. I don't do much philosophy. I don't tell much stories. It's actually like bare bones of the meditation, without the hippie waffle, without the drama, without the confusing concepts or the philosophy. Do this meditation, it sorts this out, and now you go do it and find out for yourself. Talk about the concept, controlled meditation, control, and then do a free meditation and just work the each single technique group on your own. And the course goes for a year because I've got so much to teach.
So
every week there's a whole another weekend course condensed into 2 hours. And it's because, I just want more white wizards in the world. I teach people to a very, very high standard. And if you want to come fly around and work on exterminating demon kind or just repairing the damage they've done, come do the course and I'll make you into a wizard.
It's really bizarre that this is the courses you teach. Like 2 days ago, I had a discussion and I was effectively told that I am here to eliminate great evil. That's what I've done in the physical world, bro. Like in this realm, I've chased horrible groups of cartels and abusers, and like I'm the boogeyman for the human form of evil on this world.
Now it's time,
right, to go through the veil and start shredding the nasties. And I it's almost sickening how contently excited I am with shredding evil. And I mean, I'm like, imagine if all the worst scenes of Saw were me with the bad guys, right? That's all I'm saying.
It could go that way, mate. It really could.
And I'll sleep like a baby, bro. I'll sleep like a baby, right? And I'm ready. And Albert, this has been incredible, right? Your work, yeah. Everything that you've gone through. None of us pick this path, okay? We really, really don't. And people are chosen. I just wanted to make camping videos, all right? People are chosen for this.
Too bad for you.
Bro, honestly, this week is the same. Like, my producer is on some mystical journey where she's just bringing these people together. Like, the guy we spoke to yesterday doesn't do interviews, Albert. Like, he doesn't do interviews. And as soon as he got Sarah's email, he felt a calling and a compelling to come and have a conversation. And now he's part of all this too. It's very bizarre. But here, universe, you're finally nailing it. You're finally nailing it, universe. Congratulations. You're doing some good. That's fantastic. Thank you.
So yeah, this sounds like it's going to be a hot group chat. Like, it's going to be great fun. Pull us all together.
The Avengers are coming for you, evil. Okay.
Uh-huh. That's what I've been hearing this week. It's called
the tip of the spear is a mad Scotsman that has zero F's left to give, man. Like, come at me, bro. We've battled evil, and you know where I stand with it. But listen, Albert, cannot wait for the next conversation. I'll make sure Sarah sends over WhatsApp information and things like this so we can get connected and bring the group together in a place where we can all start really talking.
That's going to be awesome.
Hell yeah, brother. I'll speak to you again soon. Thank you so much, mate. Take care. Thank you everyone for watching. Thank you to the mods. Thank you to Sarah. Thank you to Shane. Thank you to Sean Edward Channel. We'll see you on the next one. Take care. Peace.